Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we've been hearing, former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher has died at the age of 87. She was in office from 1979 to 1990, a controversial figure who championed free market economic policies and deregulation of the banking industry, among others. We're going to ask the question now, how have Thatcher's reforms set up the UK and the world economy in 2013, for better and worse? And where do the parallels with Ronald Reagan that we hear so often end? So, British American listeners, the phones are open for your remembrances of former Prime Minister Thatcher. What do you think about her political and economic policies and what they mean for the UK today or the EU or the world? 212-433-WNYC. And what do you make of her role as the first female leader of a Western country, for that matter? What are your reflections on her legacy and particularly where she has brought the world today or contributed to bringing the world today? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For people who lived in the UK or have familiarity with it, especially 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And joining me to talk about Lady Thatcher's legacy is Alan Cowell, New York Times correspondent, joining us from London. Hi, Alan.
Hi, good morning, Brian.
So what have you been hearing there today, first of all, about the reaction to the news of her passing? Is it being, is she being kind of lauded from the right and ripped from the left, or is it kind of a more unified gasp than that?
Well, it's been quite overwhelming. The BBC's gone over to a sort of full-day special about Margaret Thatcher. It's something that everybody's talking about. Everyone has a memory of a certain age, that is, of one way or the other of what they how they recall Thatcher. And even some of the people who were very virulent enemies when she was alive and when she was prime minister have been generally courteous and respectful of her memory as a resilient, tough fighter who stood up for what she believed in. Of course, there have been people out on ideological enemies who said that, you know, that she ruined many people's lives, that she was a warmonger, that she paved the ground for Tony Blair to have his tenures in power marked by so many military interventions. That's presumably a nod to Mrs. Thatcher's readiness to invade the Falkland Islands after to take them back from the Argentine troops who'd landed there earlier. But of course, I think overwhelmingly there is a sense that this is a moment to look back and think where Britain is today and where it would have been without her or someone very much like her, if that's possible.
Here's a comment from Evan, who posted on our Facebook page, quote, "I am an American who has lived in the UK since 1998, and I have dual citizenship. I think Thatcher gave Britain harsh medicine that scarred some places and elements of society forever, but it may have been necessary in order to bring Britain into the 21st century." Unquote. So, Alan, would you think it's accurate to say that many Americans don't realize quite how much was government-owned when Thatcher took office?
It's quite possible. I mean, there was a huge amount of privatization that she embarked on, if you think from gas companies, phones, railways. It was revolutionary in a way in a country that had survived for decades with use to a very broad, deep government stake in the economy, and that is something that she changed forever. I think very interestingly, just today, the big news before her death was the welfare reforms and personal income tax reforms that the Conservative government, her ideological heirs, her successors, are introducing. And I think you can see an element of Thatcherism in the readiness, the Conservative government of David Cameron, in coalition with the Liberal Democrats, is prepared to undertake to achieve a similar effect. This relates largely to the financial crisis in 2008, but it's the same balance: harsh medicine in return for a reward and a fundamental shift in the way society regards its relationship with the state.
212-433-WNYC and YY in Brooklyn. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Okay. What are you thinking?
Well, it's interesting. I think Margaret Thatcher's legacy, as everybody seems to feel, is completely split in two. First of all, she liberated, I think, the British economy from the domination of the extremely left-wing leaning unions in those days and allowed free enterprise to actually create wealth. And I think that had to be seen as being good. However, as her foreign secretary, who, believe it or not, is a cousin of mine, Sir Malcolm Rifkin, points out, there was very large areas of UK life which she simply didn't have a handle on. She was very much an English prime minister, very not a Scottish prime minister or a British prime minister, and I'm Scottish, incidentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I think very much that the movement of the Scottish government for full independence next year is largely driven by a huge backlash against the UK structure as it was dominated by Margaret Thatcher's lack of sensitivity to different parts of the UK.
Why, thank you very much. And here's a clip from a 1990 speech, so right near the end of her tenure, that she made at the House of Commons, in which she criticized socialism and liberal economic policies. And here she is characterizing one of the members' position on her economic record.
All levels of income are better off than they were in 1979. But what the honourable member is saying is that he would rather the poor were poorer, provided the rich were less rich. That way you will never create the wealth for better social services as we have. And what a policy. Yes, he would rather have the poor poorer, provided the rich were less rich. That is the liberal policy.
Boy, oh boy, that is some harsh language, and I think that's a very famous clip. I feel like I've heard that many times before. But even that is relevant today with the debates that we have going on there and here about inequality, Alan, isn't it?
I think it's very relevant. The notion that you must allow people to create wealth and sort of a rising tide raises all boats is still very dominant in the thinking of not just the Conservative Party. I think it was true also. I mean, we mustn't forget, it was interesting what your caller said about Scottish independence. In the 10 years of the Tony Blair government, the Thatcher legacy in terms of Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland was reversed, and broad powers of devolution were given to Scottish, Welsh, and Northern Ireland local assemblies. So you could actually argue that the push for full independence now is a result of the expectations raised by the Labour government rather than as a reaction to the lack of interest shown by Mrs. Thatcher. But as I was saying earlier, Britain is struggling mightily with a debt problem. It's not part of the Eurozone. It has its own currency. It doesn't want to be part of the Eurozone. But it still has similar problems. And this vast indebtedness is pushed the government into some extremely harsh measures, reducing the welfare bill and trying to cut back on waste. But what it's also doing at the same time today was to lower the tax rate, the marginal tax rate for the highest earners, whose pay is in excess of £150,000 a year. What would that be, about $230,000?
Mm-hmm.
They've had their top end tax on amounts over £150,000 reduced by 5%, which will give some of them enormous pay raises and is designed specifically to encourage the belief that, unlike other parts of Europe, particularly France, Britain is a welcoming haven for people who want to make money and not pay an totally onerous price for doing so. And I think you could trace that back certainly to Mrs. Thatcher.
Here in the United States, a lot of the obituaries of Lady Thatcher already coming out are noting her friendship with Ronald Reagan and their twin rule, sort of, her and in the UK and he in the US at the same time, coming out of their shared economic values. Is she remembered with as much fondness, either on the right in Great Britain, as Ronald Reagan is in this country? He's still held up, either accurately or inaccurately, as kind of the icon for all things conservative. And do you think she's remembered as fondly by the general population? Because even a lot of people who disagreed with Reagan's policies kind of liked him.
I'm not sure fond is probably the right word. I think Mrs. Thatcher, Lady Thatcher now, of course, was a much more stern personality and had none of that kind of affability that we associate with Ronald Reagan. And, of course, the two were not totally in lockstep. There were differences over the Falklands. There were differences over the invasion of Grenada. So when it came to Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, there was clearly an identity of ambition there that Mrs. Thatcher cultivated through a friendship with Mikhail Gorbachev. But in other spheres, the style was different and the attitudes were different. The policies were different.
And does she inspire that kind of reverence on the right today? I'm thinking of talk radio in the United States, when you get some of the rough and tumble talk shows on BBC Five Live or whatever, are conservatives always invoking the spirit of Margaret Thatcher, the ideal of Margaret Thatcher, and why aren't today's conservatives living up to it and things like that?
Well, that's almost a default setting. I mean, if it's not Winston Churchill, then it's Margaret Thatcher. The two are often compared, Winston Churchill, the great wartime leader, and Margaret Thatcher, the great leader of a social revolution in the way that Britain conducted its business and was seen in the outside world. I would say that any conservative politician is duty-bound to pay respect, even far beyond lip service, to Margaret Thatcher, and even on the Labour side of things, which is not really as left as it would once have been, you had Gordon Brown as a Labour Prime Minister inviting Margaret Thatcher to 10 Downing Street during his quite brief time in office, and acknowledging the lessons to be learned for her leadership and her vision.
Golda Meir came before her as a female head of state in, if not technically a Western-leaning country. But then there was Margaret Thatcher in 1979, and she famously said, "If you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman." Was she a feminist in any sense that we would recognize in this country, and did she change the perception of female leadership in the West?
I think she changed the perception that it was possible. I never thought of her, I have to admit, as a feminist in the sense of making an ideological platform of feminism. I thought that she was, but she did clearly set an example, and for leaders such as Angela Merkel in Germany today.
Alan Cowell in London today for the New York Times. He's usually based in Paris. Thank you very much for joining us on this day that Margaret Thatcher died.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, your stories of medical false positives and their impact on your life. You can start calling now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll hear from a guest who, for 1 week of his life, thought he had HIV.